the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Today is Friday of the sixth week of Easter. This is Father Stephen Reynolds of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church in Houston, Texas. In the hours before the unfolding of a sacred passion, Jesus speaks a consoling word to the apostles. And some of those words are recounted in the Gospel for the Mass today, John chapter 16, verses 20 to 23. Acknowledging that they will suffer from the events ahead, Jesus wants his closest friends to know that his death and their sorrow will not be the end of the story. He will give them a cause to rejoice, even though they don't see it right away. You know, if we think about it, when we're going through a hard time, people may try to offer us comfort, saying, for example, everything will be fine, or give it time, things will be okay, or it's not so bad. But when we're sad, or we're really suffering interiorly, those kinds of reassurances, but you know, they usually don't help us very much, even though they're well-intentioned. But Jesus' words are different. He is the one person in the universe, because he's a divine person, whose words carry a weight beyond their everyday meaning. When Jesus promises a joy that transcends sadness and sorrow, he's not just referring simply to an emotional release or to some kind of emotional relief. Instead, the Lord is speaking of a transformation and a change of heart, so that the sadness of the apostles will be vanquished by their encounter with the risen Lord, an event that will dissolve their doubts and really be a kind of exclamation point to everything that the Lord said and did. Because after all, how could anyone be sad after such an encounter, after seeing Christ risen in the flesh? And we should all pray that the Lord will open our minds and hearts so that we can meet him in a similar way. But what if, despite our faith in God, we're sometimes sad? How do we overcome it? Well, we can turn to St. Thomas Aquinas to give us some practical advice. He's not only a profound theologian, he understands human nature. And he identifies five remedies to sadness. He says, first of all, when we're sad, we should try to do something enjoyable. You know, God wants us to delight in his creation, after all. And that can be a powerful way of prompting gratitude to God and a greater inoculation against sadness. A second remedy for sadness, according to St. Thomas, is weeping. Our melancholy gets worse, he says, if we have no way to give vent to our sorrow. Weeping is the soul's way to release a sorrow that can become paralyzing. I mean, after all, Jesus himself wept when confronted with a sad event, for example, the death of Lazarus. The third remedy for vanquishing sadness is sharing our sorrow with a friend. You know, sometimes a brief message or phone call is enough for our outlook to once again be filled with light. And this is something we can do for others as well, to be a receptive ear and to listen with patience when someone calls us to unburden themselves a bit or visits with us, asking us just by listening to help them, you know, get things out. St. Thomas's fourth remedy against sadness is contemplating the truth. For example, contemplating the splendor of truth in nature or a work of art or music. I mean, these can be an effective balm against sadness. A fifth remedy suggested by St. Thomas is perhaps something we might not expect from him. The theologian says that a wonderful remedy against sadness is taking a bath and going to bed. I mean, when we think about it, it's a deeply Christian viewpoint that in order to alleviate a spiritual malady, one will sometimes have to resort to a bodily remedy. And sometimes rest and a good bath can help us to be relaxed physically so that we can relax a little bit more interiorly. Ultimately, the remedy for sadness is Christ himself. So let us ask the Lord to be close to us so we'll always have reasons to rejoice. God bless you.